Hey, you guys. Princess is here and Kirkland. We are back with another episode of The Secret is Work. And today we are talking about the house buying process. So as we mentioned, Kirkland and I, we are getting ready to officially
buy another house,
our very first investment property. And we want to take you guys on the entire journey from beginning to end, but we have not officially started the journey, but we did buy a house this year, 2020. We closed on our house January 16th, I think. Mm-hmm. So figured we'll go ahead and start talking about the process of buying that house, this mm-hmm. house that we're sitting in right now, until then, like I mentioned, Kirkland is buying our second house. So, and we should be getting started in that process soon. But until then, let's talk about our current home.
All right. So, step number one, how did this go? What was the first thing done to prepare for this process of buying a house? What was that?
Girl, save all your money.
All of it.
All your money. But even before that, I will say I was like asking questions. Like when I was at my photo shoots with my clients, like every time I would ask them, well, do you own a home? And I would ask them about the house buying process. And I feel like my clients did really help me with preparing and what to expect. I had clients that told me the process was 60 days. I've had someone tell me there was 6 months. some were 90 days. And I think our process was 90 days, wasn't it? 3 months. Because we started in October. Yeah, almost 90 days. So it's getting your mind ready to what's getting ready to happen. So I guess the first thing I will say is definitely do your research. Before you can prepare, you have to know what to get ready for. And one thing I wish we did before I even start preparing, wish we had talked to the realtor we wanted to work with first. So maybe he will have give us a checklist as to what to prepare, right? So I was just going by what I was finding on Google, the questions I was asking for my clients, for my friends I know that owns homes. But I will definitely say talking to your realtor, with maybe he or she will give you a very specific list of how to prepare. It will save you probably time and money.
Isn't there like a process before that? Because like there was a whole year of process before October like came.
Getting your credit ready?
Yes.
Well, I think before
can't
October.
Skip that step.
But before October came, that's that whole process. And the, well, because keep in mind,
so you're saying,
I didn't clear my credit for this house. I had already worked on my credit. So I cleared my credit with the hope of owning a home, but I worked on my credit 2 years prior to this house. I was on my credit, working on my credit since we were in North Cross. So doing this house buying process, I didn't have to do much to my credit. Yes, for example, you buying my second house. So the first step you need to do is get your credit in order. And even that, talk to your realtor, but even that, I feel like actually the very first step you should do is talk to your realtor.
Maybe the first step is to find a realtor because we didn't do that.
Yes, because maybe the realtor will tell you what are some of the, they will maybe get you to speak to a lender, right? Or someone that does.
And we would have known in advance
what to focus on your credit. So you won't have to sit in here cleaning all these different things or maybe put your money in the wrong
thing. I thought
things.
About that, but then we'd just be cleaning our credit just to buy the house.
But that's
just
the thing.
Getting credit clean, period.
But some people don't have money to clean the entire credit, while they could have just cleaned their credit to get the house and come back around. But that's the thing. When I cleaned my credit, I was in the intention of getting rid of all the debt from my credit.
Okay, so I guess step number one is finding a realtor.
I would say that's step number one. Get one. I mean, you don't even have to hire them yet. You can just one to help you prepare. So what would I need to focus on? Maybe give you a checklist, and the I'm pretty sure the top of it will be your credit. And like, let's take one of our friend, he was getting to buy a house, and he felt like he wasn't prepared. And I feel like if he had talked to someone, they would give them a checklist and be like, focus on this, save this amount of money, like kind of like an estimate of how much money to expect. And the number two things I feel like I did was save my money. I spent a lot of money, and I feel like also if I had talked to a realtor, I would have a ballpark uh-huh. of how much money I would need
to make.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What I would have saved more just to have a cushion, but
we could have started earlier.
I was saving all my money. If I wasn't paying, I remember I came back from Hawaii for my birthday in July, and I was like, I'm going to spend the rest of the summer saving my money. And I saved all my money. I only paid the bills I needed to pay and saved all my money. And I think I saved a little over $10,000. And I didn't need all of it. I didn't use it. Who doesn't need her money? I didn't use all of it on buying the house. But what I was thinking was more so like, because, you know, a lot of things I heard from people, from Google, from YouTube.
The random things that come up.
The mm-hmm. unexpected expenses or last minute changes. And sure enough, that's cosmetics. That's not like, you know, that would have make or break the deal. It was the carpet, right? Mm-hmm. I went in the carpet gone, and originally they agreed it was a part of the deal. And when the house come back, the appraisal mm-hmm. came back, and it was worth less.
So they didn't want to do the carpet anymore.
It wasn't part of the budget. Yeah, it was the carpet. Removing the carpet, giving us the money to put hardwood floor, was removed from the deal. So I think another thing that we need to talk about too is the specific expenses that comes with buying the house. So when you save
what
the money is for.
Okay, so the first thing is get ready. If you're a person that's indecisive or picky, please get ready to spend a lot more money than us non-indecisive people. Because when you pick a home, you have to pay whatever that fee is.
The earnest money?
No, not the earnest money. That's a whole nother thing. You have to put up earnest money, basically.
So you make an offer. Once the offer is accepted,
you have to put up the earnest money.
I think it was $500, was it?
Might have been $1,000.
Well, I think different process or lender or, I don't know, team might be different, but you said $1,000. I thought it was $500, but it could be $1,000. So as soon as you make an offer, the first thing you will need to pay up is your earnest money. And you do have a window to accept.
I believe the wire was $1,000.
Okay, yeah. Cool. It was $1,000, and as soon as you make, I think you had like 3 days to accept the offer.
3 days to accept the offer.
Yeah, and once you accept the offer, you have to wire the money. So that's number one. Have the money. I mean, honestly, you should have your entire money ready, mm-hmm. To start the process. Because once the process start going, boom, everything that you need to pay for, they will be due, and you need to pay them because you don't want to hold up the process because you don't have the money. So I would suggest having your house buying money budget ready. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of the percent and things does depends on the price of the house.
Mm-hmm. Price of the house and the type of loan,
right? So we had an FHA loan.
Uh-huh.
And we paid 3.5%.
Something like that.
Yeah, we paid 3.5%. That's what we had to put down.
Oh, yeah, so what he puts down. Yes, I was like, that's not the percent of the APR. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we had to put down.
So we had to put down 3.5%.
5%. So that's the money you have to have up front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess the closing costs naturally go to the seller.
I don't know where the closing cost goes, actually. When you pay that money, they
describe it. But I'm saying, not to the seller. Like, because the seller pay for our closing costs.
Well, we ask for that. That's not...
Yeah, so, but that's something is based on your realtor or based on what you know. Because some people will make you pay for the closing costs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it just depends on what you agree on in the offer. That's a part of
what I feel like anytime we buy a house, I feel like the seller...
You're going to ask...
Should pay for the closing costs. But
remember, we're going to be one of these people one day.
We are. Yeah. And I'm sure someone's going to be going to pay for the closing costs.
So, yeah, think about that, too. But even before you do that, though, even before... well, not before you do that. After you accept the offer, you put down your earnings money, then you need to be prepared to pay the inspector...
And the appraisal.
And the appraisal, which are two different people that do... In my opinion, very similar things, but two different people that needs to be paid separately. And whatever that fee is, that needs to be paid out of your pocket directly.
Well, the appraisal inspectors, they don't do the same thing. The inspector...
Their jobs overlap.
Well, the inspector is to inspect the house. Mm-hmm. While to make sure, like, you know, you don't have a leak in your AC. You don't have... a hole on the wall, the roof is not messed up, and then that's one person, and you have the appraiser to appraise the house. Like, because, for example, the realtor is not worried about the inspector is not worried about the area. They're worried about the house.
I get
so
it.
So while the appraiser appraises the house to make sure it's what it's worth. So they will talk about, they will talk about the area. Like, how much, they will look into how much the other houses cost in the area. And yet, they will look to make sure everything works. Like, pretty much everything in the house is worth the house being cost $150,000. So, it's two different things. I'm pretty sure an inspector and an appraiser, I don't think they can do each other's job.
I'm not saying that they can do each other's job, but to me, there's a lot of overlappage. Between what
the things that goes in the house, because that's just like the AC is working, right? Because if the AC is old,
correct,
it's probably gonna bring down the house.
And the correct, and
they, yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. So there's an overlap in what they do.
And some of it, yeah, some of it.
Get prepared for both of these people.
And they have two different expenses
to hand you an invoice that you need to pay both of them on whatever before this process continues of the home buying, because you want to make sure, like she said, the house is valued at what the seller is asking you to pay. You want to make sure the house matches up to that. And then you also want to make sure that you don't get into the things we got into, where as you buy a house and they say that the AC is in working condition, but you get here and you realize it doesn't.
Well, to be fair, I feel like that's one of the things, that was one of the things that I was reading, like, that some things, like, I mean, we had an inspector, we had an appraiser, no one said anything about the AC, so I feel like those were the expenses when I was talking about, like, the unexpected things. I feel like the first 90 days of buying a house, I feel like you should also have a cushion, saved up in case something last minute come up, so you won't feel like, oh, the house, something is wrong with the house, now I can't afford it, I made a bad decision. I don't think we made a bad decision. It was more like, okay, well, we have one thing that didn't work. Personally, I wasn't surprised, because I feel like that's what I've been reading, that's what I've been watching on videos. Like, people have purchased houses that turn out to be a nightmare. So get yourself ready to possibly, knock on wood, that's real wood too, that something can go wrong and now it's your house and it all falls on you. You don't have a landlord.
Oh.
You don't have a leasing office. Everything that happens in this house moving forward, it falls on you.
So to add on top of that, I would say definitely, once you already know that for sure you're going to buy a house, maybe not the specific house, that's another thing too. That's why some people, we're lucky to actually get into the house that we initially appraised to. Like, one of our friends, appraised over 5 houses. In his case, those appraisals were, I think, $550 or $600. And he paid $600 times 5 before he even found the house he liked. So that's wasted money down the drain that you don't get back. So you also need to prepare. That's one of the unknowns, too. Mm-hmm. That you may not get into the first, second, or third home that you bid for, especially when you're in Atlanta. It's like it's a hotbed. Everyone is overbidding for properties because there's more buyers than there are available properties. So definitely being prepared for the unexpected costs is a fact. But on top of that, a way to mitigate some of those risks is doing your homework to find a good home warranty.
Yeah.
Because they be trash.
I mean, I don't really know if there's a good, because it seems like they're speaking all going to say.
He go to trash in my face.
I'm pretty sure they're all going to say, oh, that was pre-existence. And that seems to be the, okay, Kirkland. That seems to be the track record of all of them. So as far as that goes, honestly, that will be naturally trial and error. No one can prepare you for that part of it. It's just like every insurance. You have insurance. You have it all the time until mm-hmm. you pay for it every month until it's time to use it. You actually
need it.
And it never, almost never comes the way you want it to. I feel like, just like I went back to say, at the end of the day, be ready. Almost like be ready for anything and everything. And it might feel like, wow, you know, I'm a new homeowner, so everything falls on me. It's a lot. But at the end of the day, it's almost like none of this is easy. And I feel like if it was easy, everyone would own a home. Most people wouldn't be renting. But this is your home at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It is your home. And you just have to figure it out. Like we did. When our AC went out. Months into this house. And it was drama trying to get it fixed. So we ended up paying for it out of pocket.
Yeah, because that quote-unquote insurance company, quote-unquote, stated it was quote-unquote.
Okay, that's not quote-unquote. And to be fair, the AC is still not working properly because Kirkland is always hot downstairs. I am.
So my tip for the day, you know how we said Cindy was going to have an actionable tip of the day? Yes. She can have one. I'll have another one. My actionable tip of the day, when you're doing your research for these home warranty companies, don't just go with the first one you see, the one who has the most ratings, the one who is popular. Don't fall for that. Like, do your homework. Find at least 3 to 4 competitors. Compare and contrast everything they offer. Compare and contrast the fee they charge you to come out. Compare and contrast what's being covered. Compare and contrast the way that they word pre-existing. Like, do your homework. Because I'm looking at the trash right in front of my face that says, we want you back. And I ain't going back.
But so, do you feel like, does that even matter? Because
Yeah, I think it matters because I think there's some people who found a really good warranty company that would have covered them in our same circumstances. So yeah, it does matter. Mm-hmm. It matters.
Okay, cool. I feel like, I mean, with what we went through, I feel like you can ask all the questions. And I feel like right now I feel the same way I feel about hosting companies, right? Mm-hmm. It's being put to the test. You think you have the best hosting. The reviews sounds great.
Until you have a problem.
Until your website is down. And that's when the test, that really is, what kind of company you're dealing with, mm-hmm. what type of service or what is the company's made of, out of, or whatever, mm-hmm. Until something goes wrong.
That's a fact.
And you can't be paying for this stupid insurance for months I've and months.
The and horror then... stories. I mean, when you go online, if you do your homework, like I didn't do, but if you do yours, you'll see. I read tons of reviews from people.
It seems like Gustin just hope for the best.
I mean,
pick the possible best one. People
were saying that they spent over $20,000 with this specific company, and then the first time that they actually called them to cover a water heater, they didn't want to pay for a water heater after she had been a customer for, I think, over a decade. She had well paid over whatever the cost of this thing is. So those are the things to definitely be prepared for. I definitely feel like knowing what I know now, I mean, I'm still doing research to find a good one because I still feel like they're a necessary evil, but just doing all the work to make sure that I find the best one out of the bunch is what's important. So you find, so let's go through the steps again. So you work on your credit. Well, you find a realtor. Mm-hmm. The realtor, if you have credit challenges, the realtor will probably either have a lot of information, or if not, they'll get you in touch with a lender you can talk to.
Like a checklist.
Yeah, to help understand what is it lenders are looking for in your credit. What does your credit need to look like? So you work through that. Then while you're doing that, you're saving up money. Then once you save up money, then it's time to hire that realtor that you talk to and start house shopping. So let's talk about the house shopping process. How long did we look at houses? How many houses did we look at?
We actually didn't look at that many houses. But I will say, before you even going to the house, by like looking at houses, I will say kind of have a clear idea of what you want the house to have. You know, some things you might have to compromise, some things you have to settle, but you have, there are some key things, that are a must. Like, you know, if you have kids, you know, you need a specific thing. If you want a single family home, if you want a townhome, if you want like a, if you want a 2-car garage, if you, you're okay with one, if you want a basement, you know, the type of kitchen you want, if you want an open concept. So I will say definitely decide
your must-haves.
Your must-haves and some of the things you are willing to, you know, be flexible on. I don't think we look at that many houses. Like, I don't, I can't even remember. And I mean, in reality, I feel like out of all the houses we looked at, I remember 2 other houses, and they were the 2 other houses we actually liked. It was the very first house we looked at. And it was the house we looked at that we wanted.
We saw before this quite house. A few houses. We spent most of November looking for a house.
We did, but I feel like we looked at that many houses because we, I feel like we went looking at houses 3 different times with Raheem.
Maybe.
Yeah, remember. So in those 3 different times, yeah, we did start like living the evening, and we didn't look, I've heard people look at millions of houses. I don't think we looked at that. Did we look at 10 houses?
We definitely looked at more than 10 houses.
How many houses? I mean, I can't even remember how many houses we looked at.
Keep talking. I'll tell you.
Cool. But I will say, and out of all the houses, it was... we're fine. We looked at a bunch of houses. It was 3 houses.
That you remember now?
That, because those were the 3 houses I liked. It was the very first house we looked at. We both liked that house. And we even say, damn, we should have like an offer on that house after. And then the second... Oh, because
we didn't know better.
Yes. Yes. Because so we didn't want to go with the first thing we saw.
So according to my list, we looked at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. These are 14 houses. There were probably other ones on this list.
So we looked
at... And actually, the house we live in now is on the must-see list.
Oh, really?
With a star next to it.
Well, let's say we look at 14 to 15 houses. That's not a lot, actually.
We definitely looked at more than this, because this list used to change every day.
If you look at 20 houses, that's not a lot of houses. I've heard stories. So, at the end of the day, the amount of house you looked at actually doesn't matter. What matters is you find what is it that you want and what is it that you need. Of course, don't be so picky, because you are... it's your house. You can customize it. You can add. You can remove. Of course, if you don't have a crazy budget where you can do all these different things. Like right now, I don't like our kitchen. I cannot wait for us to remodel our kitchen. My master bedroom, I do not like my closet. The bathroom is fine. I do not like my closet. But to remodel I do want to remodel my bathroom. And I will be able to remodel my closet too. So, but I love my room. I love upstairs. I love downstairs. I love everything about the house. But there's going to be a few things here that you might not like. But there are things you can fix later. It is your house. And one thing I will say that I feel like we should have maybe, in a way, we will also, the thing is, if you're going to be signing a 30-year mortgage, which this is not one. This is your biggest purchase. This is the biggest purchase you will ever make. You might buy a bigger house, but a house is always the biggest purchase, you know, most people make. Unless you buy, like, a building for your business. Mm-hmm. That'll probably be another... Any property you're purchasing will be the biggest purchase. So, and it's going to be 30-year terms, right? Mm-hmm. So, don't think of where you are in life right now. Like, if you're someone who doesn't have kids, I mean, and you hope to have kids and hope to have a husband... today I was having that conversation with Aria, and she was saying it's just her. She want like a smaller place. But at the end of the day, Aria do what she wants to get married. She want to have kids. So, and if you're going to be in a house for 30 years, you will probably raise your kids in that house. So don't just think for where you are right now. Think for where you are right now and where you're heading. So you can always rent, if it's a personal, a house you just want to purchase a house to live in, you can rent it out. You can, there's so much you can do with the house. So don't go for like a 2-bedroom house because you right now you're young and single while your goal is to have a husband and kids. So think of the things that are very important to you and some of the things, you know, just that are, you know, you can't. It's like you don't have to have them. And think of the areas you want to live in. We did not really have area. We just had our realtor send us things what we can afford.
We had a price preference.
We had a budget. So mm-hmm. The house budget. And our budget was very specific because we know this house is what we needed right now. Because we were needed. We had to move. So we were looking for a house. But we know we didn't want a super expensive house because our goal is to focus in investments, right? Mm-hmm. So now we can go ahead and go back. Our mortgage is not so high, so we can go back and focus on getting our investment property. But if it's you just looking for a home to live in, possibly grow a family, create a budget you feel like you can afford the mortgage today, and you can still continue to afford the mortgage later on as your life evolves.
So budget is another one. So we're gonna dive into the budget part. So when you're looking to buy a house, right, the budget that you have for the house, think of it in terms, I mean, this might not be the best way to think about it, but I definitely think it's a step one thinking. It'll help you get to step two. But I look at budgets like this, right? If it all falls apart tomorrow and I don't have this fancy business anymore.
Fancy business.
And I have to go work at Burger King or McDonald's. Can I afford this house? And the reason I think about life that way is because I never, no matter how much money I make, I still want to keep my expenses low. So I thought about that as a budget. And to me, whatever you're currently paying in rent, you could probably afford that exact same dollar amount in a mortgage. So that's what we did. We took the price we were paying for rent, and then we looked for something that was very similar in a mortgage at that same price. That way you're not moving above your head. It's a price you're already comfortable paying. Mm-hmm. If your rent is currently too high, then you might want to look for something a little lower. So I think budget is the one thing that, you know, gets people, you know, going a lot of times. So think of it in that terms, if that helps you structure creating your budget. And then once you learn your budget, you'll understand what's in that budget.
What area?
Yeah, what areas go in that budget and what you're going to get, like physicalities of the house. Like, one of the things we compromised on was we wanted a two-car garage, and we got a one-car garage. That was
one. But our one-car garage come with an extra bedroom.
Right, and it also comes with a second garage that's not attached.
Yeah. So we actually end up getting two-car garage.
Getting a two-car garage, actually.
Which you're going to turn that extra garage into a small rental. So setting a budget will help determine which area, honestly. Because, you know, your budget for downtown Atlanta will be very different for your budget in
Alpharetta
or
Decatur,
Stone Mountain, or even Riverdale, or different parts of Atlanta, you know, the east side, the south side, the east side of Atlanta, north side. So deciding what your budget will help you with knowing how much your down payment is going to be, knowing how much you will need to put down, knowing what your mortgage will be.
Yep.
So coming up with a budget will answer a lot of your questions. So I would say definitely come up with a specific budget. Like Kirkland said, keep your expenses, keep your current expenses in mind. Because when you move into a house, your expenses will be a little more as far as like utilities, right? And because now you might, before everything might be including in the rent, right? Or you might not have to pay for water. Now you have to pay for water, you have to pay for the trash, you have to pay for
The maintenance in the house. Yes.
So while in an apartment, you probably just had to pay the rent and maybe pay for your power. But some you had to pay for water. You didn't have to pay for water. Now you have you will have additional expenses
that you didn't have
before. Yep. So keep those in mind, because the price of the house will very much determine how much you pay per month.
Yep, because the bigger the house, the bigger the light bill, the bigger the gas, the bigger the water.
Yes.
The bigger
Everything.
I think the only thing that might not be bigger is the... Nah, because if your house is bigger, you're going to need more trash cans. So that's going to go up too. So yeah, keep that in mind. Definitely when you're talking about budget. So I think we have reached a part of the episode where we're going to give you our Black Business of the Week. So today, I wanted to highlight one of my good friends who runs an amazing men's online store that I love. He does like custom, I would say like semi-custom print, because, you know, like when the run is done, it's done. But regardless, I really like his style. So his name is Mr. Reed. He goes by Mr. Reed on Instagram, but his shop is called Perception Shop. So PXN Shop on Instagram. And they have like amazing men's brand clothing and their Black business, which, you know, we are all about supporting here on The Secret Is Work. So head over to Instagram.com/ P as in Paul, X as in X-ray, and is in Nancy Shop. And you will find all the amazing things that Mr. Reed and his wife are doing over there at that Black-owned business. And now let's get back to the show. So
I will say, this house buying process definitely, at the end of the day, no one can prepare you for the first of anything in life, actually.
Nope.
No one can prepare you to buy your first house. No one can prepare you to start your first business. No one can prepare you to have your first kid. No one can really prepare you for all the first of your in your life. So the thing is do try to prepare as much as you can. But at the same time, keep in mind, you will learn from experience. And because I feel like this process is getting us ready for our Seek Your Listings journey, where we're going to be going through a different type of process, because not only are we going to go to the traditional home buying process, but then we're going to go to the getting the house ready for rent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm very grateful for this house buying process. This house being my biggest accomplishment today. When I post my pictures on social media that I shoot content in my house, the location is my dream home. While, like, this is my dream home. All I ever wanted was a house, my own house that I can shoot my content. I can live here and I can make it cute. It can be all white. I have a moment almost every day. Well, when I pull up to the house during the day, actually, because when you turn around, as soon as you turn into our street, you're coming up, you start seeing our house. It's one of the, like, once you turn, you start, if you know the house is there, I start seeing the house, and I have a moment every single time I'm pulling up to the house during the day. I'm like, I'm pulling up into my house, and I love when I'm walking to the house, like, I'm picking up things that I see on the floor. If I see the trash, I'm going, the trash, I will pick it up. If the mailbox is open, I'm fixing it, because it's my house. And it's my job to keep it clean. It's our job to make sure the house is up to par. Mm-hmm. So with all of that said, the house buying process, it is what it is. It's definitely not, it won't always be an easy process. But when you walk into your home, it's worth it.
Oh, also, I will be honest. For my stressors out there, the house buying process will stress you out. So if you need, your Tylenol, your Advil, just keep that in on hand, because it is stressful. I mean, I could have been better prepared. She claims she was better prepared.
I was better prepared because, like I said, the whole time I was saving money, every time I shot a client, we had a conversation about the home buying process, and I was reading online. I was watching YouTube videos. Like, you know how when they say when you get, if something is wrong with you, like, don't go to, what is it, MD? What is that website? Don't go to those websites. Google's going to tell you you have cancer.
And you're dying.
You're dying. And the house buying process is the opposite. I had to get myself prepared, because I remember when you was like, I was in the process of still saving money, and Kirkland was like, well, you're not ready. Are you scared to get ready to start? I didn't feel, not that I was scared. I wanted to save more money because of what people were saying. Like, this whole thing can just,
but knowing what I know, knowing what I know now though, no, I didn't realize it took that long. So knowing what I know now, we could have started 3 months before, because it took 3 months anyway.
Like, start saving money 3 months before?
No. That's not what I mean. Like, from what you had saved up at that time.
No.
At that 3 months.
That would have stressed me out. Because I would be thinking, what if something came back quicker? Like, that would have stressed me out. Because the money part was I feel like that was the one thing that I had control over, how much money I have. So when those things come up, I can be like, okay, we can handle it. Like, that our credit, right? So those are things where if they come back and say, well, you need to get rid of your credit. So I would have had money and work on it. And as we go through the process, by the time we get to the end, it's been 30 days, credit will be updated, right? So
I guess maybe it would have stressed
you out. It would stress me the heck out of me out. And you was already stressed. So that would probably stress you out too. So I would suggest having your money up front. Don't start the process and trying to come up with more money. If you feel like you need more money and you're worried, yeah, come up with more money while you're in the process. But I will say, closing day, once you get to that table, it's easy, you guys. All you do is sign papers all day. You get your key and you go home. Lacefully go home. So closing day it was easy. It really was.
Literally. Go home, Roger.
Because before you get to the closing table, everything's already done. Everything is done. You got the green light from your lender. You got your realtors there. Our seller was not there, but they came in the day before, because our seller was traveling. So our seller came in the day before and signed all his part of the paperwork. And then we did ours on our closing day. Our closing day did change. So expect the unexpected. Day to change. Right? Yeah, things will change. And you just have to be willing to adapt. And it was the holiday season. So I don't know. I feel like the house buying process was one of my favorite times of my life, because at the end of the day, I end up with a house, which is all that matters to me. It does not matter what happened from now on. And if you want your business full time, you need to have your taxes ready for the last 2 years. I forgot to mention that. And if you run your business full time, you make sure you have your reports. Make sure you have ways to show proof of income, because they're going to hunt you down, okay?
Listen, that was a part of my stress. It felt very... What's the word I want to use? It felt very...
You ain't got no job.
Yeah, like you lying that you got a job. Like,
yeah.
That was part of my stress. It was like every time you'd ask for something, they'd be like, so, you have a job? What do you
It's almost like they didn't understand. Like, what do you really do? It's like, if you don't have a job, like a 9-to-5, what are you doing?
What are you really doing?
It was like, it was a lot of proving. Like, I had to send them different reports, almost like, it's like if you send it to them, they want you to send it to them upside down to make sure it says what it says. Mm. But if your business, I use my
Square. Oh, that actually stopped. I would say that took another month. So it might have been 60 days had we had already did our taxes.
Yeah, have your taxes ready. Yeah, definitely do your taxes before the process. So we did our process. We did our taxes after we started the process.
Yep, and we should
have
did it before.
We should have did it 2 years. The last 2 years of your taxes.
And definitely had we talking to a realtor while we were waiting, we would have done it while we were waiting.
Yes. So those are the things you prepare yourself for.
Yep.
And if you owe the IRS money, they're going to want you to have a payment arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to go into your debt to income ratio. So, I don't know, just be prepared. Like, just prepare yourself as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And like, this time around, we are getting a checklist of what you need to work on. And before we started, we're going to get the checklist from the lender so we can get our documents and everything ready. But like I said, at the end of the day, we have a beautiful home and I love my house. I love everything about our house. I love coming home. Like, I enjoy coming home. I remember when I'm on vacation, like when it's time to go home, I'm going home. I love walking into my house. At the end of the day, the process is worth it.
It is.
You end up with a home. Your own home.
I still don't like my AC though.
But Your own home. And it's like, you get to do what you want. You can...
Mm-hmm. That's the part.
Break down walls. Mm-hmm. You can paint. You can mess up the walls and redo them over. Mm-hmm. Like I did. And you can remove the carpet on the floor. You can
put in hardwood.
You can put hardwood floor. You can remodel. You can do whatever you want because it's your house.
You
change the door.
You can paint it.
You don't have to get permission.
Nope. Unless you live in the HOA, those people have tax.
You have tax permission for outside, not inside.
Depending on what you're doing inside, you will ask for it.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that.
Depending on the HOA.
We don't have a HOA.
That's part of the research process. Do you want to have a homeowners association fee that you're required to pay every single month for as long as you own that property? So imagine after 30 years, you're finished paying and you still have an HOA fee. You know, I'm going to leave that right there. So keep that in mind while you're doing your research. So let's go ahead and wrap this podcast on up. So Cindy, yes, before we go, tell the people your actionable tip of the week.
Well, I feel like I had one, but I was like, oh, we're talking about the house buying process. Well, really, I think at the end of the week, mine is never gonna be related to the topic of the week. So it's really what I'm doing. Cause you know, y'all, I'm doing a new thing. I'm like the queen of new things. So, right now, one thing is I'm trying to read more, right? Because,
cause y'all know she can't read.
Fuck you, Kirkland. Whatever. I'm trying to read more so I can make more money and invest my money.
Talking louder don't mean that you know how to read.
Okay, cool. And one thing, one book, and you guys know I'm focusing a lot on building wealth and making my money work for me. You know, that's why I have a house and we're buying like a bunch of other houses. So to make our money work for us. So... and I've been reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I have this habit where Kirkland is dumb too because he does the same thing.
I know how to read books now.
So, Okay, cool. Now, you heard that? So we both have this habit where once we start reading, we fall asleep. Mm-hmm. We get so sleepy and end up stop reading. So I started to read 30, mind you, it's midnight, so I'm going to go read before I go to bed. But I read for 30 minutes. I set the timer on my phone and I read. It does put me to sleep, and as soon after I'm done, I can just go to sleep, right? So that is one thing, an action, a step I'm taking every single day to better myself and improve my life all around. All right. Read 30 minutes before bed.
That works. All right. So did we sort out the socials? Because last week we told them that they were going to...
Yes.
Know. Okay. So
the social is, our social media is, we only have one really. You can find us on IG, which is Seeking Listings.
Oh, all right. We only have one.
Besides Seeking Point, we only have one. Yeah, on Instagram, Seeking Listings.
Okay. So follow us on Instagram at Instagram.com/ C as in kind. Nope.
C is not kind, honey. C is dumb. I told y'all, but I can't read, right?
C as in
cold.
Cold-hearted.
Just C, K, list things.
No.
People know how to spell
no, C and K. No, you need to spell it out. C as in curry goat. K as in kind. Listings as in a home listing dot
wow
.com.
Home it's as in home
listing.
Oh wow.
So that's Instagram.com/ CK listings.
Wow.
Do you have any final words before we exit this week's podcast?
You guys, listen, I'm excited for this podcast because we get to talk about something I'm very passionate about right now, building wealth. At the end of the day, our parents did not teach us nothing about wealth building because honestly, they didn't know. And I want us to not only share everything we learned with you guys, but I also want you guys to take what you learn about building wealth and share it with a family member, with a friend. You know, each one teach one kind of thing. So this is our moment. This is our time to take full control of our life and become financially free and not depending on no one and nothing. So those are my final words. And 2021 is going to be the year that we make all of our dreams. Ooh, that's not us. All of our dreams come true. All right, that's it. Oh, you can follow me. I am all over the internet as I Am Princess. And my blog is princess.com. Really, if you go to princess.com, you will find everything that I do. I'm on Instagram as I Am Princess. If you go to link in my bio, I have my merch line, which is Black Wealth. I have t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. I have like cute little necklaces. And, of course, you can join my wealth squad where we talk about stocks all day, every day. Everything I do is on my pages. I Am Princess in princess.com.
All right. And y'all can find me at Instagram at xltribe.com. That's not Instagram. My website is xltribe.com. But you can find me on Instagram.com/xltribe and xltribe on Facebook as well. All right, y'all. Well, take care until the next episode. See y'all next time.
Bye.